But let's go back and get verses 1 through 4.
I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband, bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So that then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that then she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Paul quoted them the law of Moses in the first three verses to show them the law was dead. Now they could be married to Christ. This first three verses is the law of Moses and not the law of Christ. Under the law of Moses, a woman could not divorce her husband for any reason. Under the Christian law, there's no law that she cannot divorce her husband. If she gets a writing of divorcement and marries another man, she does not commit adultery. Romans 13 and 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Except it be for fornication. This seems to be what this false doctrine is founded upon. These exact words is found only one time in the Bible, Matthew 19 and 9. Was Matthew 19 and 9 ever made a part of the new covenant or the new law which was written in the mind and the heart of the apostles? Let us look at this one more time. Except it be for fornication. First, who is speaking? Jesus Christ. Who is he speaking to? The great nation, the house of Israel, the Pharisees. When was it spoken? Under the law of Moses. What was the purpose? To answer the Pharisees' question in such a way they could not condemn him. The question was not to make a marriage law for the Christian age. There were no Christians. There were no alien sinners. They were still under the law of Moses, only Jews and Gentiles. These exact words, except it be for fornication, are not found anywhere else in the Bible. Jesus condemned them and accomplished the purpose. It is absolutely not in our New Testament law. And except it be for fornication, was never mentioned again in all of God's Word. Pat tried last night to make the New Testament law begin before the cross. He said the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance to try to make Matthew 19 and 9 the New Testament law. And he used John 3:16. Yes, it was to be the New Testament law. God wrote it in their minds. In 1 John 4 and 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Yes, it is written in our law. It is our law. Christ did say many things while he was here on earth that was to be put in the law. But what was wrote in their minds and in their hearts is what was put in the New Testament law. Everything he said was not put in the New Testament law. Then he used John 3 and 5. Yes, it was to be the new law. Acts 2:38. Acts 8:38, 22:16, Romans 6:3 and 4, and many other times was it brought into their remembrance. Yes, it was put in the New Testament law. It was wrote in their minds, and we have it in our New Testament law. Now let us look at Mark 19 and Matthew 19 and 9. It was never brought to their remembrance, not one time. If so, where is it written? Nowhere can you find it in our law. It was never written in their mind. It is not our law. The church was restored by speaking where the Bible speaks and by being silent where the Bible is silent. If it is written in the Word of God, if it is not written in the Word of God, it is the Word of man. If it is written in the New Testament covenant, it is our law. If it is not written in the New Testament covenant, it is not our law, because it was written in their minds and in their hearts. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The new covenant laws God had put in the apostles' hearts and wrote them in their minds, and this new covenant law begins Acts chapter 2 and ends with Revelation. If it is written in this new covenant law, it is our law. If it is not written in this new testament law, it is not our law. It is loosed in earth and in heaven. Now let us put this false doctrine to the test. except it be for fornication. Is it written in our law? Now, these are the terms that he's been using. Except it be for fornication. Is it written in our law? Absolutely not. Then it's not our law. Have you been married before? It's not written in the whole Bible before, whole New Testament law, period. If we're silent where the Bible is silent, then we cannot ask the question, have you been married before? This is absolutely a man-made doctrine. Last evening, Pat said if your second marriage was not because of fornication, your marriage was an adulterous marriage. Adulterous marriage is not written in the Word of God, period. Adulterous marriage is a man-made doctrine. God said in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. All marriages are honorable. Now he took up homosexual marriage. Homosexual is not a marriage. I said marriage. If it's a marriage, it is a marriage. All marriages are honorable. They're a marriage. There is no adulterous marriage. Therefore, adulterous marriage is absolutely a man-made doctrine not found in the Word of God. Scriptural marriage. Scriptural marriage cannot be found in the Word of God, period. Therefore, it is a man-made term. It is not written in the Word of God. Unscriptural marriage. Unscriptural marriage, not written all of God's Word, period. A marriage is either a marriage or it is not a marriage. If it is a marriage, it is an honorable marriage. Therefore, the scripture and unscriptural marriage does not exist in all the Bible, is not written. Therefore, it is a man-made doctrine not found anywhere in the Word of God. This false doctrine, they were living in adultery before they were baptized. They would still be living in adultery after they were baptized. This is man-made. Where is this written in the Word of God? Living in adultery is not written in the Word of God, period. There is no such thing as a married couple living in adultery with each other. Living in adultery is absolutely a man-made doctrine of a married couple. When you obey the gospel, you must divorce your companion. Divorce your companion is not in the Word of God, period. Why would God want a couple in an honorable marriage to divorce? There is no such doctrine in all the Word of God, period. Then you must divorce your companion is absolutely a man-made doctrine because it is not written in the Word of God. You must divorce this wife, but you are to go back and remarry your first wife. Yes, it is written, but written differently. Deuteronomy 24:4. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. This man-made doctrine that you must go marry your first wife is abomination before the Lord. If you cannot remarry your first wife, then you must remain unmarried, forbidden to marry. Yes, forbidden to marry is written in 1 Timothy 4 and the first three verses. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Forbidding to marry is a devil-made doctrine. Man will teach this doctrine of devils to try to justify this false marriage teaching. As I told you last night, if it is written in our law, it is our law. If it is not written in our law, it is not our law. Then we must accept that which is written and reject that which is not written. With that in mind, let us reject these false doctrines. First, accept it be for fornication. Is it written in our New Testament law that God put in their heart and in their mind? It is not written. Therefore, we must reject it as our law because it is not our law. Have you been married before? It is not written in all the Bible. Therefore, we must reject it because it is not our law. Adulterous marriage. It is not written in all the Bible. Therefore, there is no adulterous marriage. But if it is written in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable law in the bed undefiled. Five, adulterous marriage is not written. Therefore, we must reject it. Scriptural marriage, not found in the Word of God, not one time period. It is not written. Therefore, we must reject it. Unscriptural marriage, it cannot be found in the Word of God. We must reject scriptural and unscriptural marriages. because it is not written in all the Word of God, period. Living in adultery. It is not written in all the Bible. There is no such thing. Married couple cannot commit adultery, having sexual relations with each other. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. The sexual act between a husband and his wife is a God-given privilege. It is absolutely not an adulterous act. Living in adultery is not written. It is not the Word of God. Therefore, we must reject it. When you obey the gospel, you must divorce this wife. It is not written in all of God's Word. Therefore, we must reject it because it is not God's law. If possible, you must remarry your first wife. It is not written, but it is written. If you do marry her, it is abomination before the Lord. Deuteronomy 24 and 4. It is not written in our New Testament law. Therefore, we must reject this false doctrine. If you cannot remarry your first wife, you're forbidden to marry. It is written, is the doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. It is written, is the doctrine of devils. Therefore, we must reject this doctrine of devils also. In summing up, not one iota of this false doctrine on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is found in the New Testament Word of God. You cannot read it in your Bible. If any of this is written in our law, tell us what book, chapter, and verse so we can read it also. Then how can men sell a doctrine to mankind when not one part of it is written in the New Testament law of God? It is because men will accept whatever the preacher says. They do not pick up their Bibles and see if it is written. If they did, they would see it is not found in the New Testament law of God, period. Now let us see what happens when the false doctrine is taught. I will give you some actual cases. Some years ago, Clifford Card, a good friend and brother in Christ, had a grandson, was married, and he wanted him to obey the gospel of Christ. He took him and his wife to the preacher at South Curry Street for him to teach them the gospel. I guess he did a good job, and they were ready to be baptized. Then he asked, have either of you been married before? His wife said, yes, this is my second husband. He said, if you continue in this marriage, salvation is not for you, and closed the Bible, and they left unsaved. And the last I knew of them, they never obeyed the gospel. Two lost souls. What actually took place? The devil's doctrine was taught, forbidding to marry. The devil kept his children. He never lost them to Christ. The devil's ministers teaching the doctrine to keep his people for him, and it worked. Now another actual case. My cousin Willard was a young man, and he married a woman. He had only known a short time. He saw he had made a mistake, and they divorced. Then later he started going with his neighbor girl. They fell in love and married. Some years later they moved to Redding, California. My brother Alan lived there. Alan taught them the Word of God, and he baptized them for the remission of their sins. The blood of Christ cleansed them, and they were born into the family of God. Lord added them to his church, Acts 2:47. They were never asked, have you been married before? It was not necessary. It made no difference if they had been or had not been. They continued to go to church, took their children. I believe they have three boys and one girl. They now all have families. They all became God's children. Now God has families and the devil has none. The Lord's ministers working for the Lord to make the children of the devil the Lord's children. Now the Lord has five families and the devil has none. This is the difference in the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of devils. Another case, a few years back at Gospel Hill. That time my son and nephew were going there. That couple started going to church there, and they had previous marriages. They soon learned that they were lost and needed salvation. They were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Now they were God's children, God's family, but they were told they must separate. They must destroy this honorable Christian marriage. My boy and nephew were concerned and came to me. I told them if they could get the elders to meet with me, I'd see if I could save this marriage. We met, but they had their ears were not here because their minds were already made up. They said that they must separate. Repentance requires separation. Well, they did separate, but soon they could not continue. Life was much better over in Satan's world than it was in the Christian world. Back in the Satan's world, he could have a wife, she could have a husband. Now they cannot have a husband. It was not long until they quit the church. They both remarried. Now the devil has two families and God has none. The devil's doctrine makes children for the devil. No one ever plans a divorce. It just happens, like an accident happens. I have a good friend who is a member of the church. She was married for many years. Then they had raised their family, church members. They were planning the things they would do together when they retired. She told me one night her husband did not return home from work. Then she got this phone call, and he told her he was not coming home anymore. That was the first she knew that he was not happy with her marriage. She said it would have been much easier to have buried him than to give him up this way. According to this false doctrine, neither party can ever marry again. Neither one was put away because of fornication. Therefore, neither can ever marry again. They are now divorced. She is loose from her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Is the word of God true, or is this false doctrine? You cannot have a wife, or you cannot have a husband, which is true. One is a lie. And Titus 1 and 2, God cannot lie. Then this false doctrine has to be a lie. Anyone who goes through a separation is always depressed, and they need the support of their friends, and especially their brothers and sisters in Christ. They have lost their lover, their home, their security. They once had, it's gone. Start over is hard enough with the support of your friends, but when they also turn their backs on you, sometimes withdraw fellowship from you, it is as if the whole world is turned against you. Many are made to feel if they remarry, they have committed the unpardonable sin and they're doomed to a devil's hell. Therefore, they feel this that this is the end of happiness for them. Yes, there's always sin in a separation. There would be no separation. But God will forgive all sins. You can always have a mate. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. We should be like those in Berea, Acts 7:11. They received the word with all ready mind and searched the scripture daily whether these things were so. That is all I ask of you. Receive the word, then search the scriptures if they are so. You will find every scripture I've given you is exactly like I said it was. If they cannot be found in the scripture, then we know they're not so. Don't let anyone sell you a man-made doctrine which is not found in the word of God. This Catholic marriage law was created back in the 16th century and finalized in the Council of Trent and was adopted into the church about 1945. It has been accepted as the marriage law, and the church as a whole have rejected the doctrine of Christ. Help us to stamp out this false doctrine and go back to the word of God. Let us speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We can do this if we accept that which is written in our law and reject that which is not written. I wish to thank each and every one of you for your presence and kind attention.
Ralph can speak by saying that Romans 7, 2, and 3, that the wife is bound by the husband.
Bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. He said that's the Old Testament law. Ralph, it's the Old Testament law and the New Testament law, because 1 Corinthians 7:39, which I'm sure you will agree is New Testament law, repeats that. It says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. So it was true under both laws that the wife is bound to her husband as long as she lives. And then he mentioned about an argument I'd made last week about Jesus in John 14:26 bringing things to their remembrance, showing that the things that Jesus taught while he was on this earth, those things would be brought to their remembrance, the disciples and apostles' remembrance by the Holy Ghost, showing them that what Jesus taught was New Testament doctrine when he was on this earth. And he says, well, he never brought Matthew 19:9 to their remembrance. He did John 3:3 and 5 because he mentioned baptism later, but never Matthew 19:9. Ralph, do you realize that Matthew 19:9 was written a long time after the events of Acts 2 occurred? Did you think that was written right when Jesus walked the earth? No, that was written a long time after Acts 2 occurred. And so he did bring that to their remembrance. Matthew wrote that years after Acts 2 occurred. So after the new covenant came into effect, perhaps 20 years, I don't know, the Holy Spirit revealed Matthew 19:9 to Matthew. brought it to his remembrance. So it was brought to their remembrance and taught long after the new covenant went into effect. And then on your points on those, you didn't respond to Matthew 18, 15 through 17. That's another one I brought up last night that you responded to in your last speech. In Matthew 18, it talks about if a brother offends you, go to him. If he won't hear you, take two or three. If he won't hear you, tell it to the church. The church wasn't even in existence at that time. Obviously, this is what we called last night preparatory teaching. Yes, sometimes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus talked about the Old Testament law and explained it. Many times, though, he gave them preparatory teaching, like John 3, 5, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, referring to baptism. That wasn't Old Testament law. That was preparing them for the New Testament law, how you had to be baptized to be saved. That's what he's obviously doing in Matthew 18. Tell it to the church. Church not in existence at that time, but he's telling them how they're to handle personal offenses once the church is in existence, once the new covenant comes into effect. And that's exactly how Matthew 19:9 is. We've got number 34 up there. Let's repeat this from last night. In Luke 16:16, the Bible says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed in AV until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. You see, this shows that the kingdom of God was begun to be preached at the time of John and Jesus. A lot of the things that Jesus said was the gospel, the New Testament gospel. Matthew 4:23, we went over all these passages last night. Jesus went about preaching the gospel. You see, a lot of things he said apply to us. Raise it up some. Daniel. Remember 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10? Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. What does he mean that the Lord commanded it? Evidently, this is talking about sometime during the Lord's lifetime, he commanded this. Perhaps it's revealed to us in Matthew 19, verse 6 or Matthew 19, 9. I can't prove that. But sometime during his lifetime, he commanded it, and it's obviously part of the New Testament law because it's right here in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Hebrews 2, 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Ralph, is that New Testament or Old Testament salvation? It said that it was at first began to be spoken by the Lord. The Lord started talking about the New Testament salvation and law while he was on this earth. Raise it up, Daniel. In John 14, 26, there's that verse. Go, raise it on up. He shall teach you all things, the Holy Spirit, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. And I brought up an example of that last night, Acts 20, verse 35. That's one that sticks out because it's one of the only verses in the latter part of Acts that's in red, showing that Jesus spoke it while he was on earth. At least the translators thought he did. He said, do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive? That's in Acts 20, verse 35. Is that New Testament law? Well, sure, evidently Jesus said it while he was on this earth. So he did say some things while he was on the earth. It's New Testament law. And that leaves open the possibility that Matthew 19:9 is New Testament law. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But let's suppose that Ralph is right. Let's suppose that Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, which also mentions the exception clause, they're not part of our law. Let's just suppose, we've already proven that they are, but let's suppose that they weren't. It wouldn't prove Ralph's position. It would prove the no exception position, wouldn't it, Billy, which we've just been talking about. Because we do have divorce law after Acts chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, let not the wife depart from her husband. I believe that's the general rule. The only exception to that is found in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. But if they don't apply to us, then there is no exception to that divorce, departure law. There is no exception. That would be the law and the only law with no exception that the wife is not to depart from the husband. And that means no divorce would be allowed, period. Not even for fornication, not any divorce. And every single remarriage after divorce would be adultery. Every one of them. So if Ralph were correct that Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, which we've proven he's not, but if he were correct that they did not apply today, then we could not get a divorce for any cause. Yet Ralph will allow divorce for any cause, I believe. Any cause, he will allow it. And also in 1 Corinthians 7, at the end of verse 11, it says, let not the husband put away his wife. I believe that's the Greek word apoluo, translated divorce or put away in Matthew and Mark. And also at the end of verse 12, let him not put her away. So we do have divorce law after Acts 2, and it says not to divorce. That's what it says. It says don't divorce, just like it says don't tell a lie. When the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and don't lie, does that mean it's okay to lie? Well, the Bible says here, don't divorce. Yet Ralph says it's okay to get a divorce. He said in one of his sad stories, he said this person got married and then found out he made a mistake about 10 months later and got out of it. Well, you said you just think it's okay for him to get a divorce. But Paul said, let not the wife depart from her husband. And he goes on in verses 11 and 12, the husband should not put away his wife, should not put her away, yet you allowed, even though God says not to. And that's even if you don't even count Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. You know, he keeps bringing up 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28 about a person being bound to a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. He says, see, if you're divorced, it's not a sin to marry. You keep equating divorce with loosed. That is not correct. Do not equate divorce with loosed. Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The marriage and the bond are not necessarily the same thing. This woman that we read about in Romans 7, verse 3, was married to a second man, but still bound and obligated to the first. So the marriage and the bond are not necessarily the same. So divorce and loose are not necessarily the same, because divorce is the opposite of marriage, and loose is the opposite of bond. Marriage and bond are not the same. Here we had a woman who was married to the second man, bound to the first. Okay? And so divorced and loosed are not necessarily the same. Now, if Ralph is right that Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 are not part of our law today, then there's only one way that we could get loosed. In 1 Corinthians 7:27, it says, if you're loosed, don't seek a wife, but if you do, you hadn't sinned. There would be only one way you could get loosed, and Romans 7, 2 and 3 would show what it is. The only way you could get loosed is if your spouse died. Isn't that what the No Exception group teaches, Billy? That's exactly right. The only way you can get loosed is if your husband died. If we're going to go by Acts 2 and forward and nothing before Acts 2, the only way you could get loosed is if your husband dies. Show us another way in the Bible, in the New Testament, from Acts 2 forward, where somebody could get loosed. I didn't say divorced. I said loosed, free from obligation. Now let's look at Matthew 19, 7 through 9. And Matthew 1st, and then Matthew 5, and we're going to show that those passages are New Testament law by looking at the context. Because we admit that not everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is New Testament law. How do I know those are? Because look at Matthew 19, verses 7 through 9. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Put up 13. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you, or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now what is the point here? They're saying, what about Moses giving us this writing of divorcement? You just said what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, verse 6. Why did Moses say, put him away and give him a writing of divorcement? He said, Moses did allow this because of the hardness of your heart. Referring to Deuteronomy 24. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, divorce for fornication is the only scriptural cause. You see, Jesus admitted that Moses allowed this. But then he said, but I'm going to teach you something different. Divorce only for fornication, just like it was in the beginning. Jesus is contrasting his law with Moses' law. That's how I know this is not Old Testament teaching. Now the same thing can be done with Matthew 5, 31 and 32. Jesus said in verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Jesus goes on to say, but, in contrast to that, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Do you see, he quotes Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, and says, but I say unto you. So he's not, in verse 32, he's not teaching what Moses taught in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. He's saying that's what Moses taught, and he quotes it, and he says, but I'm going to tell you this. It's different than what Moses taught. You can see that by the word but. As a matter of fact, from Matthew 5, 21 through the end of the chapter, there are six times he says, it hath been said by them of old time, or something to that effect. And then he says, but I say unto you. All six times he quotes Old Testament law. Two or three of them are from the Ten Commandments. Six times he quotes Old Testament law, and then he says, but I say unto you. This whole section is a contrast between Old Testament law and New Covenant law, preparatory teaching, and he's showing the difference. So Jesus is teaching different than Moses' law. He is going back to the beginning, contrasting Moses' law with his new law. Now let's show the difference between Moses' raise it back down. Moses' teaching on divorce and remarriage and God's, I mean the New Testament teaching, Jesus'. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, he could put away his wife for any uncleanness. Okay, I think that would include things like pornography and things like that that wouldn't necessarily go all the way to fornication. Any uncleanness, he could put her away for. Jesus is teaching only fornication. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, the adulterer was to be put to death. That's the old law. New law, adulterer could be divorced, but not put to death. Deuteronomy 24, verse 2, once that woman was put away for uncleanness, she had the right to remarry. Verse 2, divorcee could not remarry. Matthew 19, 9b says, whoever marries the put-away woman commits adultery. That's another difference. In Deuteronomy 21, 11 through 14, a captive wife, that means they went to war and captured some women and you married one, they could divorce them for any reason. It didn't have to be uncleanness, they could divorce them for any reason. New Testament law, you could divorce them only for fornication. Matthew 19:8, Jesus' teaching was different than Moses' teaching was different than the beginning. Jesus' teaching the same as the beginning. Matthew 5:31 gives or quotes from Moses' teaching. Matthew 5:32 sets in contrast to that with the word but. So Jesus' New Testament teaching on marriage and divorce is different than Moses' teaching. You remember, the old law allowed people to have two wives. Will Jesus' teaching allow that? Obviously, Jesus' teaching is different. Now I'd like to ask Ralph an interesting question. Jesus is teaching in Matthew 19:9, Matthew 5:32, his New Testament teaching on divorce and remarriage is obviously different than the law of Moses on divorce and remarriage. But he says Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 does not apply to us in the New Covenant. I'd like to know when it did apply. When did Matthew 19:9 apply? It didn't apply under the Old Covenant law. That was different. We just shown that. Did it only apply for the 2 or 3 years between the time that Jesus said it and when the New Testament law went into effect in Acts 2? When did Matthew 19:9 apply? Now, it didn't apply in the Old Testament. Remember back then, what somebody put away could remarry. In Matthew 19:9, they couldn't. Whoever marries the put-away woman commits adultery. Then they could divorce for any uncleanness. Now, I mean, Matthew 19:9, they can only divorce for fornication. Then the captive wife could be divorced for any reason. Now they can't. We've shown that it's different. It didn't apply then. Well, you're saying it doesn't apply now. When did it apply? Just for those 2 or 3 years? Is that all, Ralph? Obviously, Jesus in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 and Luke 16:18 and Matthew 10:11 and 12 is giving, Mark 10:11 and 12 is giving preparatory teaching. He is teaching what the new law would be, just like he did in John 3:5. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about preaching the gospel. Now, if this is not so, if Jesus did not give any preparatory teaching while he was on earth, then it would be okay to call your preacher Father in an elevating title sense, just like they do the Catholic priest, because that's in Matthew 23. And it would be okay to lust after a woman other than your wife, because that wouldn't apply today, because that's only found in Matthew 5. Okay, put up the next chart. And then, Ralph said, there's no adulterous marriages. You can't have adultery between married people. Now, Ralph, whether this is Old Testament law or New Testament law or something else, I want you to look at some passages, and I'm going to prove to you that two people, a man and a woman, who are married to each other, can commit adultery with each other. Matthew 19:9a is the first case I want you to look at. Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, committeth adultery. That man is married to the second woman, yet they're committing adultery with each other. Okay? I don't care what law that is. It shows that it's possible for a man to commit adultery with his wife, and you say that's not possible. The B part said, whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. Those two people are married, yet they're committing adultery with each other. Ralph says it's impossible for a man and a woman who are married to each other to commit adultery because they're married to each other. Look at Mark 10, verse 12. We'll get the case for the woman. If a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. She's married to that second man. It says she's committing adultery. You said that's not possible. Luke 16:18. The first, we'll look at A. Whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. There's a man married to another woman, yet he's committing adultery with her, even though they're married to each other. And whoever marries her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. They're married to each other, and the Bible says they're committing adultery. And then Ralph brought up a bunch of sad cases about how the devil's doctrine, he calls mine the Catholic doctrine. No, we've been teaching this ever since Jesus taught it in Matthew 19:9. Okay, way before the Catholics ever taught it. A bunch of sad cases about people who were evidently turned away because they were in false marriages. Well, what about polygamous marriages? What about a man who's married to his fifth wife and he comes up saying, Africa, to a preacher and says, I want to be baptized. I understand the gospel. And the preacher says, well, you're going to have to get rid of those last four and just stay with your first one. Oh, and he turns him away. Well, that's a sad case. The devil got him, didn't he? He's going to be in the devil's camp because he wouldn't turn away from those adulterous marriages, those polygamous marriages. What about homosexual marriages? Ronnie, Mr. Wade just informed me that the Netherlands now say that homosexual marriages are legal. You said now, since we don't have any divorce law, marriage law in the New Testament, we just go by the law of the land. Well, in the Netherlands, and soon in Vermont, it's legal to have a homosexual marriage. So are you going to turn them away if they come to you and want to be baptized, but they're not willing to separate from each other? If so, if you turn them away, will that put them in the devil's camp? I debated a homosexual preacher for the Metropolitan Community Church a couple of times. He's the gay church. Okay? He used to be a member of a Church of Christ, but he said he was turned out because had homosexual feelings. He was a homosexual. They wouldn't just accept him in. Well, that's a sad case. Poor fellas. They shouldn't have done that because now he's part of that MCC denomination. That's too bad. Well, you know, I believe Greg has a partner, a male partner, by the way. I believe they did right if they wouldn't accept him because he wouldn't get rid of his male partner. What about you? Because his repentance demands that he gets out of it. Put up number 27. Is that up there? That may have been 27. Back to 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28. He said, art thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. That person can marry. That's right. But that cannot be the divorced person of Luke 16:18. The divorced person of Luke 16:18 says, whoever marries her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. This verse says, if this woman who is loosed marries, it's not a sin. Luke 16:18 says, that divorced person does commit adultery, does sin. Raise it up. So the loose person, way up, 1 Corinthians 27:28, is free to marry. That must be one of three people. A person who has never married, a person whose mate has died, a person who has divorced their spouse for fornication. Those are the people who are loosed, free from obligation, not bound. That must be what 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28 is talking about. Put up, skip 4 and go to 32. He mentioned, I tell you what, don't put that up. Let's just talk, we don't have time. Let's just talk about Matthew 19:9. Brethren, this is simple. Jesus meant what he said. There are people here today that are in unscriptural marriages. Some of them, perhaps, worship where Ralph goes. And you're in unscriptural marriage, but Ralph keeps telling you it's okay. But Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. That's not complicated. That is simple. Jesus said exactly what he means. We've proven that's part of New Testament law. It can't be part of old. It's different than the old. You need to just obey that. It may be hard, but you've got to do it. Because in Revelation 21:8, it says that adulterers and fornicators and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You can stay in that marriage and please Ralph. But you're going to have to get out of that marriage to please your God and go to heaven. I urge you. I beg you to get out of that marriage. Get out of that adulterous marriage and seek reconciliation with your original spouse. We'll say more about it in my last speech. Thank you very much.